Our study tonight is going to center on the book of Philippians, titled, A Study of the Christian Life According to Philippians. The record of Paul's call to Macedonia and his preaching at Philippi is recorded in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. We all remember that Lydia was the first convert at Philippi in chapter 16 at verse 15, book of Acts. And then the jailer and his household, on down later in the chapter in verses 23 through verse 34. And so the church at Philippi started with the conversion of a woman and then conversion of a jailer and his family. Then later during Paul's first Roman imprisonment, he wrote this letter to the saints at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, he says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So the church at Philippi was, as we can say sometime, it was set in order. This is the way God designed the Lord's church to be, to have overseers, to oversee the flock, and to have deacons or special servants to aid in the work that is carried out by the local congregation and saints. And so that's the only organization that the New Testament knows in regard to the Lord's church. As we look at this particular book, we study the book, we can see the kind of life that we as Christians must live today. And so that's what we're going to talk about in regard to the book of Philippians. And we're going to begin with the first chapter in the book of Philippians and suggest to you that the life of a Christian is a Savior-centered life. Obviously, we as human beings must have something around which our life revolves. And Paul in this text shows that this is indeed the Christ that our life revolves around. When he talked in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Lord. And he said in verse 9, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so a number of times in this passage, he talks about Christ. In fact, Jesus is mentioned on an average of more than every other verse in chapter 1. So a number of times, Paul talks about Jesus, the Christ, the one who is our Savior. And so we have our lives centered around Jesus Christ, because we don't center our lives around ourselves. We don't center our lives around family, around social events. Many, many families in our modern society are the very opposite of this. Their lives are, in fact, centered around self. That's the main focus of their life, is self. What's good for me doesn't matter about anybody else. And if it's not focused around self, then surely it's focused around family. Family is very important. God designed the family in the very beginning of time, when God created Eve as a help suitable for Adam. And they were joined together. They became one flesh. The first family unit. God designed it. And so, yes, family is important. But life is not centered just around family. Nor is life centered around social events or social activities. It seems that in our society today that social media takes up a large portion of our time. All you got to do is just mention Facebook and everybody knows what you're talking about. And then you got FaceTime, where people can talk with each other over their electronic devices. And I'm not suggesting that this is necessarily inherently bad, but what we need to understand is that this is not the things that our lives are centered around. Many people send their lives around television. Now, yes, we have a TV, and I like to enjoy some programs on TV. But there are things that are more important. And that's what we need to realize. But here's something that might shock you. Our lives don't even revolve around the church. Now, chew on that in just a little while. Yes, the church is very important. It's vitally important in our lives. But you see, we are a part of the church because our life revolves around Christ. That's why we are what we are. That's why we're members of the church of Christ. Because our life revolves around Christ. And so think about Paul's statement here in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. That's what our life is all about. The will of Christ must be considered in every decision that we make. His kingdom, his body, the church is given top priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And if you'll notice in that context, the things that Jesus is talking about are material things. Food, clothing, shelter. Things that are necessary for life itself. But those take second place. Maybe even further down the list than that, to the Lord's church, to his kingdom. It, the body of Christ, is given top priority. Everything that we do is done to his glory. We remember his sacrifice and look forward to his return. Every Lord's Day, we observe the memorial feast that reminds us of his death. We remember that he gave his body and shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And in this memorial feast, we look forward to his return. It is a commemoration of his death, but it is also an event that looks forward to the resurrection. To the time when we will be resurrected. Jesus obviously has already been resurrected, but we look forward to the time when we will be with our Lord. When we will face judgment. And those who are righteous will be ushered into that glorious place called heaven. And so we look forward to his return when he will take us back to be with him. I must walk with him each day. He is the most important thing in my life. More important than my wife, my children, anybody else that even remotely is connected with me and my family. The Lord is more important. Remember, Jesus said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Even our own life, we must be willing to give in service to him. And so the life of a Christian is a Savior-centered life. But if you go on over into chapter 2, you'll see that the life of a Christian is a self-emptying life. Notice verses 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. Am I to be concerned about myself? Absolutely. My first responsibility in regard to myself is to make sure that I have been crucified with Christ, that I am a part of his family, the church. But that concern for self is overshadowed by my concern for others. I am saved to save others. This is exemplified by Christ himself in verses 5 through 11. When he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind was that? This disposition of heart that Jesus had. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Other translation into that thought it not something to be grasped or held on to. He's talking about his disposition in heaven with God. He didn't consider this something that he would hold tenaciously to, but he willingly gave it up. And notice verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, Jesus left the glory of heaven, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And he continued in verse 9, he said, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus exemplified the disposition or attitude of heart that we must have in regard to our concern for other people. I've got to get rid of self. In fact, I made the observation at times that the first step in becoming a Christian, becoming a child of God, is a backward step. We have to step out of self, step away from self, and commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. We have to die to self and become a new creature, Paul said in Romans 6, 3 and 4. And so, this life of a Christian is one that thinks of others. You'll notice in this particular passage, Jesus retained the form of God while taking on himself the form of man. There are those who have tried to imply that Jesus was just a man, and that as he was just a man and he never sinned, so we today don't sin. Well, we don't have to sin, but we do sin. Romans 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So yes, we all sin, but Jesus didn't sin because he retained the form of God and took upon himself the form of man. As a man and as God's son, he submitted himself completely to God's will so that he became as a man. In Vine's Expository Dictionary, the word that's translated to empty or made himself of no reputation is translated that in verse 7, he emptied himself. That's in the King James Version, it says made himself of no reputation. But in the newer translation, it will say he emptied himself in the Revised Version and others. This clause follows the verb, following the verb, or as scholars say, exegetical in its meaning. Especially the phrase, the form of a servant and the likeness of men. What that text tells us is that Christ did not empty himself of Godhood. He retained the form of God. He did not cease to be what he essentially was, what he eternally was. He was with God even in the creation. John said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The Word was the vehicle that God used in creation. God said, let there be light. He said, let us make man in our image. There was more than one personage in the beginning. And that was Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, there verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh. And so, the Word became flesh, but He retained His deity while taking up on Himself the form of a servant. Now, in return, we maintain our human form and then take upon ourselves the form of deity. God gives us His Spirit. And when we take upon ourselves the form of deity, when we receive His Spirit, we're made over into a new man that is more concerned about others than about ourselves. That is the imitating the life of Jesus Christ. This is illustrated by Timothy and Epaphroditus. As you look in verses 19 through 30, we'll not take time to read all this, but just look when he said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Talking about Timothy. Timothy was concerned about the state of the Philippians. Notice verse 21, he said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. All seek their own. That is a fairly apt description of the society in which we live today. Everybody is out for their own pleasure, their own enjoyment, for what can enhance my life, and care very little, if any, about anyone else. Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. So you see, we divest ourselves of ourselves.